نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد، فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: من صمت نجا، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذريته. الله سبحانه وتعالى has granted us many favors, one of which is the tongue. And for every favor, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set a boundary. When a person uses any favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within that boundary, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remains pleased with him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards him. And whenever we use a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whilst exceeding the limits, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become displeased. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set a boundary for our tongue also. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said: Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ. One who believes in Allah and the last day, that means the person who is a perfect believer, will do the following. A perfect believer will do the following. Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir. What will he do? فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَسْمُتْ. Either he will speak good or remain silent. So when a person speaks, he speaks good. He stays away from speaking evil, abstains from speaking wrong, speaking evil, speaking filth, speaking dirt. He abstains from lying. He abstains from cheating people with his tongue, deceiving people with his tongue, with his speech. He abstains from swearing at people. He abstains from false oaths. He abstains from backbiting. He abstains from slandering. He abstains from saying words which will hurt somebody. This person is a perfect believer. A perfect believer is he who controls his tongue. When speaking, he remains within the boundaries set out by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At that boundaries, if it is khair, he will speak. So that boundary allows him to speak khair only. And when he speaks shar, evil, then he is out of the boundary. So he remains within the boundary. For such a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has announced that he is a perfect believer. One who believes in Allah and the last day. This should be his condition. فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا He should either speak goodness, speak about goodness, speak good, abstain from evil. Speak good or remain quiet. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, السُّكُوتُ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ إِمْلَاءِ الشَّرِّ To remain quiet, to remain silent, is better than speaking evil. And what is evil? What is shar? Anything and everything that is disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything and everything that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, a person may talk about something good. For example, performance of Hajj. I went to perform Hajj in 1984 and I performed so many tawaf and I performed so much ibadat and I spent in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much. I helped so many people. The speech is good. But this person is saying all these things with the intention of impressing people. And his intention through this speech is fame. So here the Sharia demands and commands that he should remain silent because this is something that is going to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as-sukutu khayrun min imla'i shar. Remaining silent is better than uttering shar, speaking shar. Speaking anything that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِمْلَاءُ الْخَيْرِ خَيْرٌ مِّنَ السُّكُوتِ And to speak good is better than remaining silent. To utter that word which will bring the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is better than remaining silent. For example, a person has the opportunity to console somebody. Somebody is bereaved and you console that person. A mother has lost her child. She is in pain. And a person has the opportunity to console this woman. Now he will console her with speech. He will say certain things. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. Your child has passed away. You have lost a child. But in reality, you have not lost a child. Your child has gone into Jannah and it is waiting for you there. And this child will become a means of your going into Jannah. Consoles a person, consoles a woman who has lost her child. And when he consoles, this person will console with the tongue, he or she. So this is an opportunity to say good. At that time, you should not remain silent. Because if you remain silent, you will not be sinning. It is permissible for you to remain silent in that circumstance. But if you remain silent, you will deprive yourself of the opportunity of being granted entry into Jannah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, to speak good is better than remaining silent when you have the opportunity to speak good and please Allah.
Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man azza thakla," one who consoles that lady who has lost her child, kusiya burdan fil jannah. Whether that woman benefits or not through your consoling her, it is possible that your consoling her may benefit her, and she may feel peaceful. It is possible that it will have no effect on her. Whether it materializes or not, your consoling this lady who has lost her child and who is in grief will guarantee you Jannah. Man azza thakla, one who consoles a lady who has lost her child, kusiya burdan fil Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him a dress in Jannah. So he will be granted entry into Jannah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him a special dress for carrying out this action. So shar and khair. Shar means anything that displeases Allah, and khair means anything that pleases Allah. So this is the boundary. When the opportunity arises to speak, we need to assess ourselves first. Assess the speech that we are about to carry out. Does it belong to the category of khair or does it belong to the category of shar? If it belongs to the category of khair, we should speak. And if it belongs to the category of shar, we should remain silent. Because that is the principle Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has taught us. Uqba ibn Amir radiyallahu anhu once asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, man najatu?" What is the path to safety? Safety from calamities in this world, safety at the time of death, safety in the grave, safety on the day of Qiyamah, safety from the fire of Jahannam. What is the path to salvation? What is the path to safety? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam mentioned three things. Number one, kuffa alayka lisanak, have total control over your tongue. Kuffa alayka lisanak, not only control your tongue, have total control over your tongue. Number two, wal yasaka baituk, and make sure that your home keeps you in it. That means you spend most of your time in your home. You do not leave your home without necessity, because the environment outside could have an effect on a person. It could be detrimental for a person. The more you leave your home, the less you mix with people. The less you mix with people, the less chances of a person being affected by detrimental and damaging effects. So wal yasaka baitu. And number three, wabki ala khatiyatik. Whenever you make an error, whenever you make a mistake, then cry over your mistakes. So when Uqba ibn Amir radiallahu anhu asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding the path to salvation, the very first thing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said was, kuffa alayka nisanak, have total control over your tongue. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man samata naja, one who remained quiet saved himself. In another hadith, a sahabi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if I can remember correctly, it was Abu Dharr Ghifari radiyallahu anhu. He said, Hal nu'akhadu bima natakallam? Will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punish us on the day of Qiyamah for what we speak? Because the Sahabi radiyallahu anhu was coming from this angle that if we punch somebody, if we hit somebody, if we physically abuse somebody, it will cause him harm. If we use a sword or a spear and harm somebody with that weapon, it will cause him physical harm. But if we swear at somebody, if we say something that may hurt him, it's not a very big thing. So he thought that it was very insignificant, the ills of the tongue. So he said, Hal nu'akhadhu bima natakallam? Will we be punished on the day of Qiyamah for what we say, for our speech? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَهَلْ يَكُبُّ النَّاسَ عَلَىٰ وُجُوهِهِمْ إِلَّا حَسَائِدُ وَالْسِنَتِهِمْ. The gist of this saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that majority of the people will be thrown in the fire of Jahannam for what their tongues have cultivated. That means the amal of speaking, the amal of speaking on the day of Qiyamah will become a means of so many people going in the fire of Jahannam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was telling another hadith that multitude of people will go in the fire of Jahannam because of their tongues and because of their private parts. Private parts, because to control one's carnal desires is very, very difficult. So a person will make tawbah over and over again, but he will slip and he will fail. And he will continue to commit sin. And in majority of the cases, a person will not even make tawbah. And as far as the tongue is concerned, when a person commits sins, or when a person speaks that which displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does not even realize that I have done wrong. If a person misses a fast of a day or two or three, even after 5 years, when he has the flashbacks, he will feel that I disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person commits adultery or fornication once in a lifetime, even after 20 years, when he remembers that incident, he will feel that I have disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But all of us have committed sins with this tongue. Some of us may have lied, some of us may have cheated, some of us may have hurt people with what we say, some of us may have backbited, some of us may have slandered, accused people. So many things that this tongue has done. But right now, sitting here, how many of us feel, and how many of us can remember that, oh, this is a very grave crime that I have committed? When people commit sins with their tongues, they don't even realize that we are committing sins. So because they don't realize, they just continue committing sins with the tongue, and they are very careful in regards to other aspects of their lives. They control their eyes, they control their ears, they control their private parts. They are particular in regard to the hukuk of Allah, hukuk of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from all aspects except the aspect of tongue, speech. So on the day of Qiyamah, they will see a heap of sins, and they will find that this heap of sins has been made through the sins of the tongue only. And my good a'mal have been reduced to nothing by this heap. And this person will be thrown in the fire of Jahannam only because of his tongue. So the first thing we understand from these ahadith is that tongue, if not controlled, is very dangerous. It leads a person in difficulty in this world, and it leads a person towards difficulty in the hereafter. I have mentioned this story before, that a prince read this hadith somewhere, that one who remained silent saved himself. So it was a hadith saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, and he was still young, 9-year-old, 10-year-old. So he made a firm resolution not to speak, because he understood from this hadith that in order to become successful and in order to acquire salvation, in order to remain safe, one should remain silent. One who remained silent became safe. Now he came home, he wouldn't speak to anybody. Total silence. The king got a bit worried. So he called the doctors, physicians, but they could not figure out what was wrong with him. They could not see anything wrong with him, but at the same time, he was unable to speak. He wasn't speaking. So some minister said to the king that, "Don't worry, we will take him for a walk, for hunting in the jungle. The fresh air will do him good, and maybe he will start to speak." So they went into the jungle to hunt. They all had bows and arrows. Now the prince is totally quiet, silent, doesn't speak a word. And they are looking for animals, birds to hunt, but they could not find anything. And suddenly, sitting on a branch of a tree, a small bird started perching. So as soon as the ministers and those who had come to hunt with the prince, they heard the perching of the bird, one of them took out his arrow, put it in the bow, and he hunted that bird. So at that point, without realizing that he was speaking, the prince said, "For as long as the bird was silent, it was safe. The moment it spoke, it was destroyed." So they came back with the prince and they said to the king that, "Now we know the problem. From somewhere he has learned this lesson that if you remain silent, you are safe. And if you speak, you get in trouble. So there is nothing wrong with him, he is not sick." So the king said, "Force him to speak. And if he doesn't speak, then beat him up and force him to speak." So they started beating him up. "Why speak? Why don't you speak?" So the prince was saying within his own heart and mind that you have landed yourself in this trouble by speaking just one sentence in the jungle. And if you speak more, just imagine what may happen to you. Man samata naja. One who remains silent remains safe in this world. We speak about this person, that person. This person and that person gets to know that we have spoken about him, we will get in trouble. Sometimes that person may confront us. We will say, "No, I didn't say this." Another person will be involved. Disgrace. So we learn from the ahadith that have been mentioned that the tongue is very, very dangerous as far as the hereafter is concerned. وَهَلْ يَكُبُّ النَّاسَ عَلَىٰ وُجُوهِهِمْ إِلَّا حَسَائِدُ وَالْسِنَتِهِمْ. Many, many people will go in the fire of Jahannam for not controlling their tongues. So tongue is very, very dangerous. So what should we do in order to save ourselves from this danger? Remain silent all the time? No. We need to follow the principle laid down for us by the Sharia. Remain within the boundary. And in order to remain within the boundary, we need to assess ourselves first. Tol phir bol. Assess and then speak. Tol phir bol. Assess and then speak. Assess and then speak. Assess. Is what I am about to say khair or shar? If it is khair, speak. If it is shar, don't speak. And man samata naja is for beginners. Those people who make a firm resolution that we want to bring our tongue under control, they should not even assess that is what I am about to say khair or shar. No. They should remain silent all the time except when necessity arrives. So, point number one, tongue is very dangerous. So many people will go in the fire of hell because they are not controlling their tongues. They are speaking anything, khair and shar. And majority of the time they are speaking shar. Things that displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what do we do? Kuffa alayka lisanak. Totally control your tongue. How do we control our tongues? By remaining within the limits set out by Sharia. And what is that Sharia? What is that limit? As-sukutu khayrun min imla'i shar. Wa imla'u al-khayri khayrun min as-sukut. It is better to say good than to remain silent. And it is better to remain silent than speak shar. And how do we remain within this boundary? How do we control our tongues totally and remain within this boundary? By assessing before speaking. Is what I am about to say khair or shar? If it is khair, speak. If it is shar, don't speak. But this is for those people who progress, for beginners. Those who do not have their tongues in control at all, like me and you. What do we have to do? We have to remain silent. Man samata naja. Remain silent and speak only when necessary. So at this moment, the assessment is not whether what I am about to say is good or bad. What I am about to say is khair or shar. What I am about to say is pleasing to Allah or displeasing to Allah. No, we are not at that stage at this moment. The assessment that we have to make is that what I am about to say, is it necessary or not? If it is necessary, then only speak. Even good, don't speak at this moment. Only when it is necessary, speak. Total control over the tongue. Only speak when necessary. If it is not necessary, don't speak. Once you have control over this, then the second step is assess. If it is good, speak. If it is shar, don't speak. If it is khair, speak. If it is shar, don't speak. If it is pleasing to Allah, speak. If it is displeasing to Allah, don't speak. And in order to remain silent, how can a person remain silent and speak only when necessary? He will have to find a substitute and keep his tongue busy with something else. And that is dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person needs to occupy his free time as much as possible in azkar. So impose on yourself that daily I will recite kalima-e-tayyibah 100 times. So that has taken 10 minutes of your free time. You have occupied those 10 minutes with La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. There is great virtue for reciting the third kalima, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. Impose upon yourself that I will recite it 100 times per day. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he returned from Mi'raj, what did he say? That I met Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam, and he has conveyed his salam upon you. Alayhi salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How fortunate we are. That Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam, the forefather of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Khalil and the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sends his salam upon us through his beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the whole ummah is fortunate. Because this hadith continues to be relayed till today through authentic chain of narration. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted this salam of his Khalil to reach every individual of the Ummah of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam conveys his salams to you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, alayhi salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And he has said that tell your Ummah that Jannah is barren land. So the Jannah that has been allocated for me, Jannah that has been allocated for you, plots of Jannah, large plots of Jannah, it is barren land, there is nothing in it. You have to build your own Jannah. You have to build your own Jannah. You have to build your own homes. The good that you do in this world will build your palaces in Jannah. لا دار للمرء بعد الموت يسكنها إلا التي كانت قبل الموت يبنيها فإن بناها بخير طاب مسكنها وإن بناها بشر خاب بانيها. Imam Shafi rahimahullah ta'ala says لا دار للمرء بعد الموت يسكنها. There is no house for a person that he will reside in after he dies and after he departs from this world. There is no house for him in the hereafter. Except for that house that he builds and erects whilst he is in this world. إِلَّا الَّذِي كَانَتْ قَبْلَ الْمَوْتِ يَبْنِيهَا. So we have to make our own homes. We have to build our own homes. Allah has allocated plots for us. We all have a plot in Jannah, we all have a plot in Jahannam. When we come into this world, it is our choice where we wish to build our house, in Jannah or in Jahannam. If we do good, that means we are building our home in Jannah. And if we do bad, that means we have chosen to build our home in Jahannam. لا دار للمرء بعد الموت يسكنها إلا الذي كانت قبل الموت يبنيها. There is no house for a person to reside in the hereafter, after he dies, except for that house which he constructs whilst he is in this world. فَإِن بَنَاهَا بِخَيْرٍ طَابَ مَسْكَنُهَا. If فَإِن بَنَاهَا بِخَيْرٍ طَابَ مَسْكَنُهُ. If the person builds this home with bricks of khair, with khair, with goodness, then his house will be very nice because it will be in Jannah. وَإِن بَنَاهَا بِشَرٍ. And if he constructs and erects this house with shar, bricks of shar, by carrying out evil deeds, خَابَ بَانِيهَا, then this person who is building this house will perish. He will become a loser in the hereafter because his house is being erected in the fire of Jahannam. So the amal that we do, the good amal that will construct palaces for us in the hereafter. The good amal that we do, those amal will plant trees for us in the garden of our home. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam said that Jannah is barren land. Tell your ummah. And when a person recites the third kalima once, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will plant one tree. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu. If a person reads this kalima 100 times daily, in the whole year, how many times he will read? More than 30,000 times. So a person will plant at least 30,000 trees in a year. And if he continues doing this throughout his life, then imagine the number of trees. And if the number of trees are so many, then imagine the size of his garden. And if the size of his garden is so big, imagine the palace that Allah will grant him. And this tree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plants for him in Jannah, how big is that tree? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that in Jannah, one tree will be so large that in its shade, if a very fast horse was to run for 100 years, he continues to run for 100 years, then 100 years will come to an end, but the shadow will not come to an end. He will not be able to surpass the shadow. So compel yourself to read third kalima. Compel yourself to read 100 times La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Only La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, or La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah il ali il azim. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah only. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, hiya kanzum min kunuzil jannah. It is a treasure from the treasures of Jannah. So when a person reads La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, he is granted a treasure. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, another treasure. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, another treasure. Compel yourself to read Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi Subhanallahi al-Azim 100 times. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are two sentences which are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which are very easy on the tongue, and which are very heavy and weighty in the scales on the day of Qiyamah. And they are Subhanallah wa bihamdihi Subhanallah. What I am saying is that for us the beginners, the principle is that we assess before speaking. And what is the assessment? Is it necessary for me to speak or no? If it is not necessary, don't speak. If it is not necessary, don't speak. For example, if I was to meet Dr. Muhyiddin after 1 month, then and the thought occurs that let me say to him that I've seen you after a long time. So I need to ask myself that is it necessary for me to say this? Is there a need for me to say this? The answer is no, there is no need. I was just going to say it because when you meet somebody you feel like talking, and just to talk I was going to say that I've seen you after a long time, I've met you after, don't. But if I feel that there is a need, why is there a need? Because he's associated to me, he's very close to me, to my heart. And I want him to be close to me physically as well, so that he is able to benefit from whatever I have and learn from me, so that he can become a good Muslim, he can excel, he can come close to Allah. So in order to make him feel that I have missed him, or in order to make him feel that I have love for him, so that he may come closer, I will say, I've seen you after a long time, Dr. Sahib, that there is a need. So question yourself, is there a need? If there is a need, speak. If there is no need, don't speak. But majority of the time there will be no need to speak. So what do we do in that time? How can we control our tongues? By compelling ourselves to engage in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will do this, I will recite Quran so much, and compel yourself. Not that I will read third kalima 100 times if I have free time. If I am busy talking, then no problem. To kill time, I will read the tasbihat. But if I don't have time, then no problem. No. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. So, the tongue is very, very dangerous. Recap. Tongue is very dangerous. This tongue, without even our knowing, is committing sins, and it is taking us nearer and nearer to the fire of Jahannam, taking us away, far away from the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to realize that, and we need to control this tongue. And how do we control it? Total control, by keeping it within its limits. And in order to keep it within its limits, we have to assess before speaking. Is what I am about to say khair or shar? Khair means, is what I am about to say pleasing Allah? Or is what I am about to say displeasing Allah? If it is pleasing to Allah, then I will speak. If it is displeasing to Allah, I will not speak. But before we come to that, we have to ask another question. Is what I am about to say necessary or unnecessary? If it is necessary, speak. If it is unnecessary, don't speak. And after that, in order, if it is necessary, I will speak. If it is not necessary, I will not speak. That means we will cut down on our speech by a very large proportion. So what do I do in the time that I have free? How do I control my tongue? Because if I have nothing to do, I will speak. by engaging your tongue in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by compelling yourself to read the adhkar mentioned in the ahadith by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, by making a set program for yourself throughout the day. And once that comes under control, thereafter you can apply the second principle which is mentioned in the ahadith by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This first principle is man samata naja, one who remains silent has saved himself. The second principle is that speak only when it is pleasing to Allah and control your tongue when it is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa al-aqibatu lil-muttaqeen. والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد مبارك وسلم. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع المتقين مع الإيمان. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما أعطيتنا. اللهم زيننا بالعلم واجعلنا هداة مهتدين. اللهم اهد الناس جميعا. اللهم الطف بنا في تيسير كل عسير فإن تيسير كل عسير عليك يسير. اللهم اجعلنا من خدام دينك وعشاق حبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان. اللهم اجعلنا من الراشدين. اللهم اجعلنا من التوابين. اللهم اجعلنا من المتطهرين. اللهم اجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين المخلصين المخلصين المحبوبين المتقين. اللهم اجعلنا من أوليائك المقربين الصديقين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا. اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الختام والعفو عما سلف وكان. لا إله إلا الله نستغفر الله نسألك الجنة ونعوذ بك من النار. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من زوال نعمتك وتحول عافيتك وفجاءة نقمتك وجميع سخطك. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من جهد البلاء ودرك الشقاء وسوء القضاء وشماتة الأعداء. اللهم لا تؤمنا مكرك ولا تنسنا ذكرك ولا تهتك عنا سترك ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين. يا رب كل شيء بقدرتك على كل شيء اغفر لنا كل شيء حتى لا تسألنا عن شيء. اللهم إنا نسألك من الخير كله ونعوذ بك من الشر كله. اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. اللهم اجعل خير أعمالنا خواتيمها وخير أعمارنا أواخرها وخير أيامنا يوم نلقاك فيه. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأساتذتنا ولمشايخنا ولأهلينا ولمحبينا ولمحسنينا ولمن له حق علينا ولمن أوصانا بالدعاء ولجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. اللهم كل خير لكل مسلم ومسلمة. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا أرحم.
سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر. سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر.